Praise the Lord. We've been in the midst of this study on the baptism in the Holy Spirit. This is week number 5. And I'm just going to recap very briefly before I get going here tonight. We've really covered 7 main points here. We talked about the fact that every believer has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit from the moment of conversion. We've seen these things and proved them out from Scripture. Number 2, we've talked about the fact, this isn't on your notes, that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is the believer being filled with the Spirit in order to be empowered for Christian living and Christian service. We have shown from Scripture that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is a separate and distinct experience from regeneration. We have shown, number 4, that one must be born again in order to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Number 5, we've seen that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is promised to every believer. Number 6, we've seen that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an important aspect of our Christian experience and therefore should be desired, sought, and entered into by all believers. And number 7, what we covered last Wednesday night, we saw that speaking in tongues is the initial physical evidence that one has received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And I took great pains to go through the Scripture and show that. Now, if you have missed any of these messages thus far, they are all on our website, and the notes are there to be printed off with them as well. And so you can go back and listen again, or go back and listen for the first time if you've missed it. Praise the Lord. So tonight, the notes that you have in front of you is what we'll be talking about, and we're going to just really talk a little more about what is tongues. What is speaking in other tongues? And we're just going to focus on that a little bit. Lord willing, there's about probably 3 or 4 more messages after this one tonight. And so we'll just continue praying that individuals will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Faith will be just brought into people's hearts for that experience. We've had at least one during this time baptized in the Holy Spirit, and we want to see more. Amen. And God is able. God wants to fill you. Praise the Lord. So looking at your notes here, the question we address is, what is speaking in other tongues? What is it? And simply put, it is a language. Tongues means languages. We're talking about speaking in other languages. These can be earthly languages or they can be heavenly languages. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 13:1, in part, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and goes on. And by the way, I don't think we prayed yet, did we? Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this. Father, we thank you tonight that we can be here in the house of God. We thank you and give you praise for opening up the door to us for that neighborhood that we wanted to be in, Lord. God, with the tent revival, and we believe you to bless in that. We thank you tonight also, God, for the opportunity to dig into your word concerning the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And Lord, tonight as we talk about speaking in tongues, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to minister your word. We ask you to make this clear and simple to our hearts and minds. And more importantly, God, we're still asking you to bring faith into every life of every believer that is not yet baptized in the Holy Spirit, and bring your Spirit upon them and fill them. Lord, we ask it in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we give you all the praise. Anoint the ministry of your word here tonight and the teaching of your word, we ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen and amen. Praise the Lord. So again, speaking in tongues is languages. And as I said, they can be earthly languages or heavenly languages. Paul said, though I speak with tongues of men and of angels. So evidently there are languages that angels speak, that we may receive one of those languages when we speak in tongues, or it could be an existing earthly language. It also could be a earthly language that is a dead language. There are hundreds, at least, perhaps, I have, it's been a while since I've heard the number, but maybe thousands of earthly languages that used to be spoken that are no longer spoken. But it is a language when you speak in tongues, but it's never a language that you learn. Amen. If I go to school and I learn how to speak French, that's not speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance. That's not the speaking in tongues we're talking about. Now, you could say you learn to speak another tongue, but it's not what we're referring to at all. It's just a language, right? Acts 2 and verse 4 says, they spake in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And Mark 16:17 said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Jesus said, go in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. And one of them is, they shall speak with new tongues. That word new means recently made, fresh, of a new kind. It also means uncommon or unheard of. And so those that believe will speak in new tongues, the scripture says. Now the next question is, what are we saying when we speak in tongues? When you hear someone speaking in tongues, when you speak in other tongues, as the Spirit gives you utterance, when you use that prayer language that we're going to see, that's exactly what God gave you when He baptized you in the Holy Spirit, is your own unique prayer language that only He understands. I'm jumping ahead a little bit to say that, but when you use that and you speak in other tongues, what are you saying? Well, the Bible gives us some indication as to what it is. First of all, you are magnifying God. Whatever you're saying, they are words that magnify God, because that's what the Holy Spirit does. Amen. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, He shall glorify me. And so the Holy Spirit is speaking through you words that glorify God, words that magnify the Lord. Acts 10:46 says, for they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Also, you may be speaking the wonderful works of God. Acts 2:11, we find that when they were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, there were people, as we've seen, that were there. We've seen this in other lessons, There were people that were there from other countries, all Jewish people who had traveled to Jerusalem, and they heard them speaking in their own languages that they spoke in their foreign countries. And he said, the scripture said, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So you are speaking the wonderful works of God. Who knows really exactly what you're saying as far as what works of God you're speaking about? But God knows. Amen. Letter C here, you're speaking mysteries. There are spiritual mysteries that you may be speaking. And I believe sometimes you're actually, because the next thing we're going to see is that you're praying. And you could be praying about things that you don't even know what you're praying about, but God is praying through you. Can you say amen? But you're speaking mysteries. That's one of the things that speaking in tongues is. 1 Corinthians 14:2 says, for he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God. For no man understands him. Howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So, you know, if you could suddenly understand all that somebody is saying when they're speaking in tongues, you might be amazed at what you're hearing in the mysteries of God that are being spoken of there. Also, a person can be praying. 1 Corinthians 14:14 says, for if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. And 1 Corinthians 14:15, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. Now, I think there's something that people who've been baptized in the Holy Spirit often start to do, and is common, I think, and they begin to take this prayer language for granted. I think it's sad when we take anything God has given us for granted. Amen? And something as beautiful as this prayer language of the Holy Spirit speaking through your tongue, the wonderful works of God, and giving you this unique prayer language. And I think often we take it for granted. We don't use it. Paul said, I will pray in an unknown tongue, in the Spirit, and I'll pray with the understanding also. And so once God has given you that prayer language, you should use it. I should use it. And we're going to talk more about that as we go on here in these messages. The other thing, when we refer to what are you saying when you speak in tongues, You can be giving thanks. 1 Corinthians 14:16. When thou shalt bless, which really means praise with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of the unlearned say amen at thy giving of thanks? You're giving thanks and you're praising God when you speak in another tongue. Many times that's exactly what you're doing. And so just to give you some idea of what the Scripture tells us that you are saying when you speak in tongues. Now the question would be then, what is the purpose? According to the Word of God, what is the purpose of speaking in tongues? We know it is the initial physical evidence of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. But then once we have that experience, we're to use that prayer language that God has given us. And so let's see what its purpose is. First of all, letter A, it is helpful in praising and worshiping God. It's helpful in praising and worshiping God. Acts 10:46 again said they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. They were worshiping God. And the Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 14 that you can bless, which literally means speak well of, in other words, praise. You can give thanks and you can sing in another tongue. I don't know if many of you noticed last Wednesday night after preaching, we're having the altar call, we were singing one of the songs, and I began to sing that song in another tongue. Now, I don't really know if I was singing that song or different words, but I began to sing and just kind of receiving just a little infilling there of the Lord as I was singing that song in another tongue. That's probably something that maybe we don't do a lot. But the Lord can anoint you to sing in another tongue. Now, if you're standing up with a microphone leading a group of people, you probably ought to sing in English. But when you're praising on your own or you're praising and you're in a group of people, you're not being distracting, it's all right to praise Him singing that song in another tongue. This is something I've done often. And I'll just sing. I'm using a tune that I've heard before. You know, a Christian song that I know. I don't do it to worldly songs, but I don't listen to worldly songs, so it'd be unlikely for me to do that anyway. But I will take a Christian song that I know, and sometimes maybe I'll be singing it, and I'll start then with that tune singing in another tongue. Paul said that's something we should do, and we can do, is sing in other tongues. And so he said in that text, if you read that on your own, he spoke of blessing in an unknown tongue and singing and giving thanks. And I have a little quote here from Jim Cassidy's notes. Jim Cassidy was my Bible college teacher, one of my Bible college teachers, back in 1980 through 82 when I went to Bethel Bible College. And he taught, one of the classes he taught was doctrine. And so he taught the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And this is a little quote. I've got a couple of them from his notes here. But he said this in his notes, "The baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues is helpful to us in praising and worshiping God. Sometimes we may feel a great love for God and yet find it hard to find the words to express it. We can have a fuller expression of our love for God by worshiping Him in other tongues." And he puts Acts 10:46 there, "For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God." That is certainly very, very biblical, because Paul said that in 1 Corinthians, that we can bless Him in another tongue. Now you say, well, I don't have the experience of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in other tongues. Ask God for it and keep reaching out and believing Him. And I, like I've said a few times here, I worry about those who are going to say, well, I'm discouraged. This is becoming a trial to me. Don't let it be a trial to you. Just keep waiting for that right moment. Just keep asking. Hey, there's lots of things that we ask for, some of which we seem to be able to enter right into, and some of which takes time. But it's always worth believing God for what He promises us. And if you've been in these classes, lessons, messages, services, whatever, if you've been in these, you have seen that it is clearly promised to every believer. Amen? And so that's you if you're saved tonight. Don't let the devil talk you out of it. Don't let him make it a trial to you. And so this will be good for you in understanding what you have once He's given it to you and using it. So it's helpful in praising and worshiping God. Letter B, it's an aid in prayer, or an aid in prayer. 1 Corinthians 14:14, "If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays. He went on and said, but my understanding is unfruitful. And what he was saying is, you know, don't just come together and pray in tongues and you don't preach anything. You don't have anything in the understanding. You're ministering to yourself, but you're not ministering to anybody else. And that's all he was dealing with there. But he points out the fact that we can pray in an unknown tongue. And when we do so, our spirit is praying, almost like it's bypassing our mind. We don't even know what we're saying. I remember a time when I was in Bible college, I would find myself praying in a different tongue than I had ever prayed in before. I had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and you know, the Lord often, He will add to that prayer language when you use it, and He will often even give you a whole new prayer language when He gives you an infilling of the Holy Spirit. And so I found myself praying in this tongue that I had never prayed in before. And at the same time, I was burdened for the nation of China. And I found myself praying also in English and interceding for a nation that I knew nothing, absolutely nothing about. I found out a little bit after that because I met a young man who was a student from China. And I actually began to have Bible studies with him. Myself and a brother, Michael Hill, began to have Bible studies with him. And we got him a Bible in his dialect. I believe it was Mandarin, if I remember right, that he spoke, in China, where he was from, and so forth. And we began to work with him, to work to bring him to Christ. Through his father, I found out a lot about the spiritual condition of China. And this was back in 1980. And I found out at that time that China was completely closed to the gospel. This man told me that 40 years before that, there were missionaries in China, but they were all forced to leave. And so I continued praying for that nation. Sometimes I would be praying in other tongues for that nation. Boy, I feel the Lord as I'm even talking about this. And other times I would be praying in English and interceding for that nation. Several years later, I got word that the nation of China had opened up to the gospel. And they weren't really allowing missionaries in, but people were coming as teachers and so forth and bringing the gospel in. And the church begin to explode in China, and there are millions upon millions of believers in China right now. The communist government does not like it one bit. It is illegal for them to have churches, and if they build a church, they will come in and plow it down. But the underground church, last I knew, is thriving in China. God probably had people all over who were praying for that nation and interceding for that nation. But what I didn't know anything about them. What I knew was God had me doing that. And I found out God answered those prayers. And last I knew, the church in China is thriving and growing. Probably would put us to shame here in America. My God answers prayer. Can you say amen? That started in my life as a prayer that I was praying in an unknown tongue. I didn't even know what I was praying. But I began to perceive that I was praying for the nation of China, because along with it came a burden for that nation. And I found myself praying for it in English as well. Just to finish that story, I actually began to wonder if maybe I'm called to be a missionary to China. And when I began to ask God about that, the burden completely lifted. He didn't want me to have any confusion about that. He had not called me to China. He was just calling me for that period of time to pray for that nation. God is good, isn't He? So it is an aid in prayer. And in 1 Corinthians 14:15, he said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. He said, I'm going to pray both with the Spirit and with the understanding. So you know when he's talking about with the Spirit, he's talking about in other tongues, that which he doesn't understand. Well, what a precious thing that God has given you, and if you aren't baptized in the Holy Spirit, that He will give you your own private, individual prayer language that He prays through you in, and it's only between you and God, and only God knows what you're saying. What a precious thing that is. And I realize as I'm talking about this that sometimes I take that for granted. And sometimes we don't use it. You know, somebody said, well, I'm having a hard time praying. I'll tell you what, begin, If you can't seem to get through praying in English, if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, you have that prayer language, begin to use that prayer language. Begin to speak in tongues and use that, and it will help bring you into the presence of God. It's kind of like, you know, if the Holy Spirit isn't moving you, you move the Holy Spirit. God has given you that language to use. Use it. Amen? Use it. Going on to letter C, it builds you up spiritually. 1 Corinthians 14:4 says, "He that speaketh in an unknown tongue edifieth himself." And you know, as I'm saying this, what comes to my mind too, by the way, edify means to build up. As I'm saying this, what comes to my mind is this. There's a large segment of the evangelical church that doesn't believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And that's sad. But what's even more sad than that is there's a large segment of the charismatic and Pentecostal churches that no longer emphasize it, no longer preach it. They say, "Oh yeah, we have some people that speak in tongues, but you know, we don't want to offend anybody to talk about it or anything too much," or whatever the case. And so it's being de-emphasized and not talked about, not preached. Churches are oftentimes, and I'm speaking in general terms, but the general condition of the Pentecostal churches today even is that the vast majority are not baptized in the Holy Spirit, don't see the need for it, don't hear it preached. You know, the Lord told me just recently about another situation. There was somebody we wanted to see healed. We were praying for it. It was Sister Linda Day. And the night that there was a Sunday night that I preached on healing that night, and I felt the Holy Spirit speak to me before that service when I just was sort of thinking about preaching that and wasn't sure. And I felt the Lord speak to me and say, "If you want to see it, you've got to preach it." And I knew He wanted me to preach it that night. And it's the same thing with the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You can't expect that people are going to be believing God for something you don't preach to them. Oh, there may be a few that do, but for the most part, what God is going to do is confirm the preaching of His Word with signs following. And so sadly, churches are not preaching it today. They're not emphasizing it. Brother Crowley and I were talking about this just in my office here just last Monday night. And he was saying, you know, that churches are not teaching it anymore. They're not preaching it. They're not emphasizing it. They're not encouraging people to enter into this experience. And we saw in the first lesson we did what that leads to: a powerless church, powerless Christians, amen, who are living short of all of what God has for them. So I intend, by the grace of God, to preach everything that God has for us and really to encourage people to enter into it and to pray to that end. Amen. God wants to bless you, and we need to understand what He wants to bless us with. And one of the things He wants to bless you with is the baptism in the Holy Ghost. And once you have that prayer language, it is something that God says you can use to build yourself up. I don't know about you, but I need built up. Now, there's some folks the devil has actually talked them out of speaking in tongues. They won't do it anymore. There's doubt has clouded their mind and clouded their eyes. Listen, if you have doubts about it, if you haven't been in these services, go back and listen to the messages with an open heart and mind and search those scriptures, because it is so plain when you look at it. As anybody that's been here would say, you know, this is not complicated. It's not difficult to understand. It's pretty plain. Anybody say that? Pretty simple there, and it's laid out for us. And last week we saw how it is laid out so clearly that the evidence of speaking in other tongues the evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit is speaking in other tongues. Amen. I was going to say that in reverse. God is good, isn't He? Amen. Praise the Lord. All righty, so it builds you up. 1 Corinthians 14:4 again. He that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies himself. Now, I don't know about you, but I like to be edified, and I need to be edified. I want to then be able to edify others. It's not all about me being edified, but if I'm not built up, I can't build you up. Amen? And I can only build you up if I'm getting built up in the Lord myself. And then Jude 20 says, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Now, it's my belief that when Jude says this, he is not specifically speaking only about praying in other tongues. It's my belief that he's just referring to praying with the Holy Spirit anointing you, which would be either in English or in other tongues. When Paul said what he said, he clearly is talking about praying in an unknown tongue. But it would tell us then that if the Holy Spirit wants to pray through us in an unknown tongue and we utilize that, it's going to build us up, not build ourselves up, but build us up on our most holy faith. Can you say amen? Praise God. So don't let anybody make you ashamed, any devil from hell talk you out of. And if you've been talked out of it, as you dig into these messages and dig into the Word of God, ask the Lord to give you a new infilling. I told you the story of the fact that the devil talked me out of it, not convincing me it wasn't of God, just convincing me I didn't have it when I was a young Christian. Even though I had spoken tongues, the devil went to work and talked me out of it, tried to tell me I was just imitating what I heard. How dumb. I wasn't imitating what I heard when I was driving the next day all the way to work speaking in other tongues. But you know, the devil's cunning, crafty, and sly, isn't he? He'll try to talk you out of anything God has for your life. He's a liar and the father of it. Amen. And so, but then I talked to Brother Daly about that. By that time I was in Bible college and he encouraged me to seek the Lord that he would fill me so full of the Holy Ghost that there was no doubt in my mind that I had been baptized in the Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. And I won't tell you, God did just that. In fact, there was no doubt probably in anybody's mind in both of those five-story buildings on Mass Avenue, because they could hear me in both of those buildings that afternoon when I was getting filled up with the Holy Ghost, new and afresh with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Both those buildings, they could hear me loud and clear. God is good, isn't he? All righty, let's go on to page 11. Talking about, really we could say, the benefits of speaking in tongues or the purpose of speaking in tongues. It is also a means of refreshing your spirit. And this is an Old Testament prophecy concerning the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 28, verse 11 and 12. It says, "For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith ye may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing." Now, Paul picks up in 1 Corinthians 14 on that very text, lest there's any doubt in your mind what Isaiah is speaking about, and uses that to talk about speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gives utterance in that prayer language. But God said here through Isaiah, hundreds of years before the outpouring of the Spirit and before the church age, that with stammering lips and another tongue he would speak, and that this is the rest and the refreshing that he has for the weary. God wants to refresh you with a new infilling of the Holy Ghost, or with the baptism in the Holy Ghost. If you've not entered into that yet, God wants to refresh you. And that prayer language, that speaking in other tongues, is a means of entering into the refreshing that God has for you. Amen. What a precious thing. Also, letter E, it can be a sign to the unbeliever. Speaking in tongues can be a sign to the unbeliever. 1 Corinthians 14:21 says, "In the law it is written," he quotes Isaiah here, "with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear, saith the Lord. Wherefore tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not." Now I have a few examples of that, one in Scripture and two in practice here that I want to share with you. Examples of tongues being a sign to the unbeliever. First of all, in Acts chapter 2, when they were baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, beginning at verse 5, it says, "There were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad," this which had happened in the upper room, "the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not these which speak all Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" And they were, it says, they were Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and dwellers of Mesopotamia, and in Judea, and Cappadocia, and Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya about Syria, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. So these men and women that were here in Jerusalem, they were all either Jewish proselytes or born as Jews who had traveled. They had been part of the dispersion when the Assyrians came in and took over Israel and carried the people away into captive. And now they'd been thriving for a long time in foreign lands, but they would travel back to Jerusalem to celebrate some of the Jewish feasts. They were there for the Feast of Pentecost. And they're there in that community in Jerusalem when the Holy Ghost fell and filled the 120 in the upper room. And that begins to spill out onto the streets. And they're out in the streets speaking in other tongues, praising God, filled up with the Holy Ghost. And all these people are there from these foreign lands. And they hear them speaking in their own languages the wonderful works of God. This is a situation where it is a sign to the unbeliever. And they hear this, and they're hearing them in all these different languages. It's never been clear to me whether every one of them is, whether they're hearing every individual in their own language. Like if I'm Egyptian, I'm hearing them in Egyptian while someone else is hearing them in some other language that they speak, or whether they just are hearing different ones speaking in their language and others are speaking in other languages. I'm not quite sure. But they all were hearing them speaking in other tongues, the wonderful works of God. Now, there are those who say, well, that's all that tongues is for. It's so that you could be in a foreign field and you don't know the language and you could be anointed to speak the gospel in their language. But that really wasn't what had to happen here. And I make a note here. This was not simply a way of God causing them to hear the gospel, as many suggest, since Peter later preached the gospel to them. When they all gathered around commenting on this, they were just hearing the wonderful works of God. Doesn't necessarily say they were hearing the gospel message. But when they all gathered around and some said, what does this mean? And others said, well, these men are drunk with new wine. And Peter stood up and he begins to preach to them. No doubt in Greek, because that was the common language. And so he begins to preach to them the gospel. And he says, these are not drunk with wine, as you suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel, saying, on the last days I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. And going on, and he says, this is what Joel was talking about. And so he's preaching to them, and they didn't need to hear it in their own languages. He's preaching in one language to them. It's recorded in the scripture in Greek, and that's probably what he was preaching to them in. That was the common language. God didn't do this because they wouldn't hear the gospel unless it was heard in their own language. He did this because he was baptizing these people in the Holy Ghost, but he also used it as a sign to these unbelievers to get them to listen to the gospel, and thank God 3,000 of them got saved that day. Amen. Thank the Lord. So God could have brought the gospel to them in Greek, and did. Not only could have, he did. So those who say this don't know what they're talking about. They don't understand the scriptures. They've generally been told this. You see, you know, it's a sad thing. You get a new believer and you begin to tell them that God doesn't baptize people in the Holy Ghost anymore with the evidence of speaking in tongues. You begin to tell them all these things that you think are the case because someone else told you this. And then they get that in their head, and it can take a long time to get them beyond that. That's what they've been hearing. That's what they've been taught. And they can't get beyond that. I know that because my sister-in-law took her 8 years to shake that, but praise God, she got gloriously baptized in the Holy Ghost a few months ago. Can you say amen? Hallelujah! God is good! God is still baptizing people in the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah! He wants to fill you. Praise God. But here's a scriptural example of speaking in tongues being a sign to the unbeliever. I've got two practical examples, or ones that I'm aware of here, that are both from Jim Cassidy's notes from Bible College, letter B. One Greek woman who could barely speak a word of English received the baptism of the Holy Ghost at home one night. As she received it, she began to speak in tongues in perfect, fluent English, praising and glorifying God. The next morning, her neighbors, because this was in the United States, the next morning, her neighbors in the building where she lived confronted her with, "We thought you told us you couldn't speak English. We heard you praying in English last night." Of course, she didn't know English and still doesn't very much. Of course, that was in 1981. I don't know what she knows now. But she was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost spoke perfect English through her. This was a sign to the people in that building that this Christian woman had had a real experience with God. Mark 16:17 says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues." Another example, letter C, a missionary to the American Indians, the Navajo tribe, was holding a tent meeting on the Navajo reservation. Suddenly, he began to speak in tongues in a language he did not know. To his surprise, Indians rushed to the altar to get saved. Should probably today we should say Native Americans, but this was written back in the early 80s. Suddenly, he began to speak in tongues in a language he didn't know. To his surprise, Indians rushed to the altar to get saved. The Indians had been amazed to hear this white man who did not know their language speak this message, telling them to repent of their sins and receive Christ. This was a sign to them. And it tells us that tongues are for a sign to them that believe not. So God certainly can use this as a way to present the gospel and be a sign to unbelievers, can't he? Amen. But to say that's the only reason that God causes someone to speak in tongues is what I was saying was the error. So that's pretty neat, isn't it? Man, I'd love to have been that missionary and seen that happen. Wouldn't you? Amen. Praise God. All right. Also, speaking in tongues can be a message to the church. We're talking about the purposes of speaking in tongues. And when we refer to this, we're talking about a separate manifestation of tongues. And that is the spiritual gift of tongues. Tongues can be used by God to bring a direct message to the church. Probably most of us here have heard that and seen that happen. Somebody brings forth a message in tongues. It is not somebody praying in tongues. This is the spiritual gift of tongues, which is intended by God for an interpretation. And then either they or someone else receives the interpretation from God, and it is a direct message from the Lord to the church, fresh at that moment. Now, it's not extra-biblical revelation. It always has to go along with Scripture. If it's God, it will. Amen? But it is a fresh message from the Lord on the spot. And what a precious thing when we think about some of what the baptism in the Holy Spirit brings us into. The whole realm of the gifts of the Spirit. If there's anybody here that has benefited from spiritual gifts, either prophecies or tongues and interpretation that have come to the church and God has spoken to your heart through it, even though it was a general message or a word of knowledge, perhaps you were prayed over and someone had a vision or a word of knowledge for you or a prophecy, maybe individual prophecy. If there's any of you that have benefited from that, I want to see your hand right now. It looks like the vast majority of you have had a word from the Lord like that. And I want you to think about how precious this is. And you don't experience that, in generally speaking, in churches that don't believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Because that's the open door, generally, into the gifts of the Spirit. Now, God cannot be put in a box. And I would assume this is true, what this young man told me. First of all, let me tell you what happened. We were having a service at the jail, and a young man begins to bring forth a message in tongues. And I'm thinking, we're in the jail. And I'm thinking, I don't even know this guy. What if this isn't the Lord? But he's bringing forth this message in tongues, and I just begin to worship the Lord. And the next thing you know, the interpretation, God gave me the interpretation, and God had a message for us. We had tongues and interpretation in a service in the jail. Amen. Afterwards, he came up to me and he told me about a time that a man was having a service there at the jail. And this same man brought forth tongues And the guy giving the class brought forth the interpretation. And afterwards, the inmate went up and talked to him about it. And he said, "Do you know what happened there?" And he said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "But I don't believe in that." He was not, evidently not baptized in the Holy Ghost, had never, didn't believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but God just gave him an interpretation to a tongue. Now, I wasn't there, so I can't verify that it happened, but I don't have any reason to doubt it. And the young man was used by God to bring forth tongues, and God gave me an interpretation in a service here where I had met him and this had happened. So I don't have any reason to doubt what he's saying. Amen. God is God, and I can't put God in a box, and I'm glad I can't. Amen. I'm glad God can do those kind of things. And, you know, that reminds me of a story. I've heard David Wilkerson share it, and he is from a long line of Pentecostal preachers. His father was a Pentecostal. Of course, David Wilkerson's gone on to be with the Lord, and his son helps pastor the church along with a man named Carter Conklin, I believe is his name. The pastor's the church, Times Square Church, that David Wilkerson founded there in Times Square, New York. So David Wilkerson is with Jesus now. But you can still listen to his messages on the internet and so forth. Great preacher. But he was telling the story of how his family came into Pentecost. His great-grandfather was a Methodist minister. He was I can't think what they called their traveling ministers that would travel on horseback and go to the different Methodist churches and preach. And that's what he would do, a circuit rider. He was a circuit rider. And he would go to the Methodist churches on horseback and preach in those churches as a circuit rider. And he avidly preached against the experience of the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. He preached that that was not of God. But while he was preaching that one service, God came down and marvelously baptized him in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, and he became a Pentecostal that moment. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Pentecostal is not a denomination. It is an experience. He had the Pentecostal experience there while he was preaching against it. God filled him with the Holy Ghost, and he preached it ever since after that, seeing it in Scripture. It wasn't just an experience. It's there in the Word of God. It's backed by Scripture. And so he preached it. His son got saved and got baptized in the Holy Ghost and was a Pentecostal preacher. And then David Wilkerson followed suit, and now his son is preaching and has been for many years. My God cannot be put in a box. Amen. And to think of those things that the Lord does like that is just precious. Praise God. The tongues can be used by God to bring a direct message to the church. And when followed by the gift of interpretation of tongues, it's a direct revelation from God, similar to a prophecy. Now, I think what I'm going to do here, I guess I'll leave that for next week. I don't want to get too long here. But next week, I'm going to show you clearly from Scripture this that I'm going to point out right now. And and I've said it already. There are two different manifestations of the same thing, of speaking in other tongues. One is the prayer language that God gives, okay, when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you have that prayer language, and this is for every believer. And Paul speaks about both of these in the book of 1 Corinthians 14, the speaking in other tongues, which is the prayer language, and the spiritual gift of tongues. And when he speaks of the prayer language, he says, "I would that you all spake with tongues." When he speaks of the spiritual gift, he said, "Do all speak in tongues?" Now, when he talks about that, he's talking about spiritual gifts, not the prayer language, because he talks there in that, and we'll see this next week, but he talks there in that text about other spiritual gifts. I can't remember right off the top of my head which ones they are and so forth. Do all interpret, et cetera, et cetera. Do all work miracles, okay? And so he's referring to the spiritual gifts. As I said, we will see clearly next week that there are two separate manifestations. And it is very clear, we've already seen, that the manifestation of the prayer language that God gives when he baptizes you in the Holy Spirit is for every believer. Spiritual gifts, God does not have every spiritual gift for every believer. Not every believer is going to bring forth a utterance in tongues that is intended to be interpreted. Not every believer is going to do that. And we'll see next week that both of those things are distinguished, and different things are said about one and the other, even though you got to break it down a little bit to see it, but it's pretty clear. So tonight, how far are you going with Jesus?
All the way.
Okay, so some messages that are coming. One is, next week, Lord willing, we'll talk about the biblical proof that there are two manifestations of tongues. And we'll also probably next week talk about using and developing your prayer language. And then probably the following week, we'll talk about some common misconceptions regarding tongues. And then, Lord willing, and it may not all work out this way, but Lord willing, the following week, we'll cover 7 steps of faith to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so all of that is coming as we continue in this lesson. Now, if there's something that wasn't clear, feel free to ask me after church, or get a hold of me at some time later. Give me a call, send me a text, whatever. But if you haven't listened to all the messages, I'm going to send you back to those messages before I answer anything and let you try to get the answer a little more for yourself there. And then I'll answer any questions anybody has. God is good, isn't he?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask Brother Charles to come. I want you to stand with me to your feet. And I want to say this tonight. If you have the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, do not hesitate to use that prayer language to worship God around this altar tonight. Now, there are some who teach, and it is not accurate, that you have to be moved by the Spirit every time you speak in tongues. That is not true. Once you have that prayer language, it is there for you to use. And you can use it at will. Now, I don't suggest you use it at will wrongly. I heard of somebody that said, went to a lost person to witness to them, and something about tongues came up, which I hope they didn't bring it up, but they may have. Something came up about tongues, and they said, "I speak in tongues. You want to hear me?" And they started speaking in tongues. That's casting your pearls before the swine. That's not using it properly. But you can use it at will once you have it. Amen? And it's an aid to you in worshiping God and praising God and helping you get free in the Spirit and building yourself up in the Lord. It's a good thing God has given you. And if you don't have it yet, it's a good thing God wants to give you. You're not less of a Christian. Please understand this. You're not less of a Christian because you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. There's just more that God has for you. Amen. You're not any less saved. You won't be more saved once you speak in tongues. You can't get any more saved than saved. Amen. But you will be more filled with the Holy Ghost. And that's what we want. Can you say amen? Stretch your hands toward heaven. Let's worship the Lord here. Let's have a little church tonight. Father, we just thank you tonight. Lord, we just love teaching on these things. Lord Jesus, and it just stirs our hearts, oh God. Lord, it stirs such a rejoicing within to thank you for what you have given us and what you want to give some that have not entered into that yet, Lord, and will give to them. But God, we praise you and thank you and worship you tonight, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And Lord, some of us have taken for granted this prayer language that you have given us. Lord, help us, oh God, to take full advantage of what you've given us and fully appreciate that which you have put in our lives. Lord, in the name of Jesus, and God, we give you praise and we give you glory and honor. I ask you, Lord, that not one individual would become a trial to them seeking the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Just, Lord God, an exercise of faith. Just a reaching out and embracing the promise and taking it to heart and taking it personally. Lord, to say that if this is for everyone the Lord our God calls, then I want it for myself. And I'm going to believe that you're going to bring it into my life. And Lord, we're not seeking tongues. We're seeking more of the Holy Spirit. But we know that the evidence of tongues will follow, Lord. Come and fill individuals, even this very night, God. Come and baptize people with the Holy Ghost and come and refill individuals that are already baptized, Father, we ask in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ. No, God, we're going to worship you around this altar a little bit tonight. We're going to give you glory and praise tonight, Father. Lord, we magnify your holy name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, take over and have your way. I ask in Jesus' name, if you're hungry for more of God, will you slip out of your seat and come?